I think there's a lot here for us today. And what you're going to see is when the kingdom of God comes into conflict with our kingdoms, it messes with things. And even when kind of Jesus comes into your life, some of you start rioting or getting defensive about areas of life you don't want Jesus to come into. And so we need to talk about those things today. We need to talk about the struggles we have in our life. We're going to see how it shapes us, informs us. So let me pray for us today. God, I thank you. I thank you that on today, you are a God that perfectly rejoices with those who are rejoicing, and you perfectly weep with those who are mourning. What a God. Some of us, today is a day that's, it's just mixed. There's loss in our mind, but there's a lot of joy in us too. God, and you shape us and you comfort us. And the reality is you're just with us. And I just thank you for that. I thank you on this day, on this Mother's Day, you can just give every person in this room exactly what they need. God, would you be with us? Would you help us see in this passage what you need us to see? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me give a little context to this passage. And we had an announcement right after the reading, so you may need to catch up a little bit. If you haven't been with us, we have been going through the book of Acts, which Luke writes this book. It was actually two letters. He writes two letters. One of his books is called the Gospel of Luke, and the second one's called Acts. And this story is the story of how Jesus is building his church. And we've been seeing this story all through the beginning chapters of Acts. And it's been this amazing story of how God's Spirit shows up and just transforms lives. This story comes out of where we talked last week. Last week, we saw Paul was preaching a sermon in Greece. So he's in Greece, he's in Athens, he's at a place called Areopagus, and he gives this incredible message. And some people believe, and he goes from there, and he travels to Corinth. And then from there, he comes to Ephesus. And we get to see, as Paul is on this missionary journey where he's telling people, Jesus lived, he was the God-man, he died, because the scripture said he was gonna die. He rose again, just like the scripture said, and he's living, and he's moving, and he's interceding for you. He is reigning, and the kingdom of God is advancing through this message, and it's an amazing thing. In chapter 17, you get to see a statement from some of Paul's opponents. They actually say in chapter 17, verse 6, these guys are turning the world upside down. That's how powerful this message of this risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. It is going and it is spreading. And it's interesting who it's really spreading through. Slaves, servants, widows, the poor. It is like just, it is going out and people are caring for these people. People are selling goods. It is just spreading like wildfire. People are being brought into this new family, and it's the world is being turned upside down. So what's happening here in Ephesus, which is modern day Turkey, it's on the coast of Turkey. Incredible things. In this chapter alone, in chapter 19, if you have your Bibles or in chapter 19 today, you can see just a little bit above this, you get to see extraordinary things happening. Paul, it says, things he's touching, like handkerchiefs, little items, they're bringing, when he touches them, they're being brought to the sick and people are getting healed, supposedly. That's what in the world? People are hearing this rumor of this guy that can just come and cast out demons, do things that people have never seen. We're seeing people by multitudes come to faith and be accepted in ways that they've never been accepted by any part of Roman society. And it's these amazing things. There's this really amazing story about the sons of Sceva. So Sceva is this high priest, Jewish high priest, and his seven sons were, it seems a little crazy. They were itinerant Jewish exorcists. So that's what they did. They just traveled around and they cast demons out of people. Well, they see what's going on in the community when Jesus' name is used. And they go, oh, here's a tool. We can cast out demons if we use Jesus' name. So just like right before this passage, these guys come up, they find a guy that's got an evil spirit within him. They say, by the name of Jesus, who Paul proclaims, come out. And it's actually kind of funny what the spirit says to them. I know Jesus. I know Paul. We don't know you though. And they come out, and from one guy, the evil spirit overtakes all seven of them, but he does get cast out. They use Jesus' name, and the demons comes out. But then the word of that spreads. And in this community, it was very religious. There was a lot of magical arts being practiced in this community, and everyone starts hearing about it. And right before this passage, all these people just start bringing their magical books of practices and they burn them in the middle of the city. And they count the number of what there would be worth, and it's like 50,000 silver pieces. So it's like they just burn them. The world is being flipped upside down. It's amazing things are happening. And then we come to this passage and we get to see when the kingdom of God comes into your community, it's not an easy thing. Here's what I mean by this too. When Jesus comes into your life and he wants to have relationship with you, some things are gonna change. And you might not want those things to change. But we get to see in this passage, there is a guy named Demetrius who makes a lot of money. He makes a ton of money. He makes so much money. He's got all these people that he puts his business to, these craftsmen. He makes idols because you know what? Ephesus was one of the seven cities that had the seven wonders of the world, and their wonder was the Temple of Artemis. You know, the only one of the seven ancient wonders of the world that's standing is the pyramids at Giza. But this was one of the seven wonders of the world. This tourism boomed because of this temple to Artemis, this goddess. And this guy made a ton of money, and the people he employed made a ton of money through this business. And you know what's happening when Paul comes into town? If people believe this message, what are they supposed to do? It's some things are going to change. The kingdom of God is coming here. And so let's set the context of this passage. Again, the world is changing. You've got Demetrius, who is this, he employs a lot of these craftsmen, and he does a lot of, he's a silversmith. He is going to get some people together to start a riot. I mean, that's his main goal, is he does not want this message to come. He does not want the message of Jesus Christ, the one who died and is risen, to come to this, to his town. So he gathers these people. He tells them, hey, we're going to basically lose our money. and our fame, like we have one of the seven wonders of the world, what happens to our place in the world when this just looks like it's just hocus pocus? When they figure out we built this God. So he wants to hold on to this money, this power, this wealth that he has, and it works. You see this riot break out. This riot breaks out. They take two of Paul's friends and they've got them in the midst of that place, and there's just a lot of screaming. And what you get to see is repeated in this line is it's a lot of just shouting. And the shouting that you hear most often is, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." That's what's shouted over and over in this passage. They just make noise. And finally, a guy from the clerk's office shows up and says, "Hey, Rome's really serious about riots. They don't like riots." Roman rule had a lot of, to get Pax Romana, it took a lot of swords to get peace. So if there's riots, that's not great for Ephesus. And so he says, "Calm down." Finally, you just see the riot stop. So again, Tanner, where are you gonna go with this sermon? All it was is like a riot starts. People yell, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And then a town clerk stops it. What should we learn from this? My question is, why would Luke include this story? You know, there's so much that happened in the early church in this time that I guarantee you he did not include in the book of Acts. John tells you as much when he writes the Gospel of John. He's like, "If I told you every story, it could fill up the mountains." He's like, "I didn't write everything." So why does Luke include this? Here's my best guess. I think Luke included this to tell us something about struggle and suffering. When we follow Jesus, we will face struggle and suffering forms us in ways that nothing else can. It will do something to our souls that a sermon can't do, that a book can't do, that, to be honest, a friend can't do. It forms you when you face suffering. And Jesus even told his disciples, Luke is recording this because Jesus said, "They treated me this way. People rioted against me. They finally put me to death on a cross. They're going to do this to you too." And we're seeing that play out here. Struggle and suffering strangely produce awe within our soul if we can find God in the midst of it. Let me say that one more time. Struggle and suffering will produce awe in our soul if we can see God, if we can find God in the midst of it. Let me read this verse in Acts 23 through 25 to kind of set that scene here. "About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines to Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. He gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, 'Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth.'" Introduce the struggle. Here begins the beginning of this struggle in Ephesus. There is always in our lives some battle going on. A lot of times it's hidden from even the closest people around us. Sometimes we hide it from our spouses. There is a battle that goes on inside of us, a struggle that each of us have. And this, in this passage, is where Paul's battle is going to kind of, it sparks. Paul's actually not in the middle of the city at this point, which is good. But this man, Demetrius, again, he starts the struggle. And where is he going to start? Where is he going to rally his troops? He says, guys, you know where we get our wealth from? That's where he starts. If this message that Paul's going to bring takes root, what happens to our paychecks is what he's saying. What happens to the way of life that we have? What a sad reality for this guy. Jesus might say to Demetrius, man, if you could gain the whole world, but you lose your soul, what good is that? What good is that, Demetrius? Okay, you've got this temple to this false goddess. And yes, it's really popular. And yes, it's on the list of the seven wonders of the world. But goodness, Demetrius. Come on, what are you thinking? Again, Demetrius rallies up these troops though. All he cares about is this wealth. He wants his money and he wants this message to go away. And those who are following Christ are going to feel the effects of struggle. So the first point that I just wanted to be clear is in the life of disciples, you will face struggle and suffering. And many of you are facing it right now. You're in the midst of it right now. I want you to look for God. God commands us all throughout Scripture, seek him. The Bible tells us that those who seek, Jesus tells us this, they will find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. You will find God in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your suffering. Look for him. It goes on. This speech by Demetrius goes on, and this brings me to my next point, is that the kingdom of God here, man, struggle and suffering, they'll produce an awe in our soul. But the second point is, the kingdom of God just comes into conflict with the kingdom of man. It just does, and it does this in our own lives. And so even when Jesus comes into our lives, there's some things we gotta give up. And we get to see this in Acts 19:25. He says this, again, he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away great many people, saying that that the gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be even disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world would worship. And here you see it, two kingdoms, the kingdom of Artemis the kingdom of modern day Turkey versus the kingdom of God. This is where the friction happens. You know, it starts with wealth, but then he does still pull at, this is our national identity. This is who we are. This is our city. This is what we're known for. What happens when we come into disrepute? What happens now if we're disrespected? That's not the worst thing for your soul, is what I would say. When the kingdom of God advances, when Jesus comes into your life, you know what? It is uncomfortable. And this, in this community, economy was on the line, right? Think of the amount of money that was flooding into that city. All these employees, what are they going to do for jobs? Well, what was happening when people moved into the kingdom of God? Their money went to really interesting places. We preached a message on Acts 6 where there was a lot of widows that had some need. What happens when you stop funneling money in Ephesus to idols and religious worship and you start giving it to the impoverished and the widow and the orphan? You know, just because money doesn't flow, like you don't spend the money, doesn't mean you don't have the money. If Jesus comes into those people's hearts, what are they going to do with that money? I would say some incredible stuff. So one thing I have to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, he does ask some stuff of your money. He does want all of you. And there's places in our lives, though, that when Jesus kind of comes into some of these places, we get uncomfortable. Oh, I don't want to talk about that part of my life. You know, Sunday is good for me to have with Jesus, but if you're talking about my Friday night, my Saturday, you know, kind of my social life, I want that to look maybe a little different than what I read in the Bible. Or you know what? I do love buying things and putting all my budget to me. Loving others, just the command to love God and love others, just does something to your checkbook. It kind of starts funneling money a little bit away from you. Not even a little bit, right? I mean, but I'll tell you, Jesus told us it's better to give than to receive. And a lot of you, you're experiencing that. I mean, when you give it away, it does something better for your soul than when you just take it all. There's these areas of our life, and here's what I would say. What do you get defensive about, especially with the closest people in your life? When somebody says something and you know that, you buck up. You're like, don't go there. It is where we kind of riot and get defensive that I will tell you, I think God wants to work the most. Where you feel like you can't be proved wrong. Oh, I can't listen to that argument. There's something that it strikes you in a way that it really, you're ready to fight. Here's what I'd tell you from this passage. Please, don't be like these men. Do not just yell your stupid phrase, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis. And you don't have like an actual argument. You're just like worshiping this God in your heart. Listen to what's coming at you. Sometimes it's the very places where we get defensive that's the place that God, right behind there, God's like trying to do a work on your soul. And he's going to change you if you just would surrender to him. It's amazing how God does this for us. Here's what I want to end with too. Verse 34. This riot's happening. And for 2 hours, they all cried with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." If you go to Ephesus today, there's a little bit of one column of that temple remaining. How about Artemis? Jesus is risen. He is alive. His kingdom stands and it is advancing. It is continuing to advance. Jesus is Lord. He is great. He is the God above all gods. Artemis is not great. You can say it for 2 hours, but 2,000 years later, Jesus remains standing. He stands above all. And that temple that was made of stone lies in ruin. I pray that God in this country would spread like a fire and destroy certain economies. It is amazing to look at the numbers that is spent in pornography in this world, in this country. What would happen if God and his kingdom spread through our country and all that money just stopped getting spent and it could be used somewhere else? There are so many economies in our country that need, to be honest, a lot of people need to lose their jobs over it. And it would be the best thing for our souls as a nation. If monies were redirected, God wants to work in our lives. How can we apply this message to our lives? It's all over the place. This writing passage I really was trying to grab today, okay? But here, this is what I see as three things that I want you to hear. One, look for God in the midst of struggle and suffering. That's first. If you can apply anything in the battle of your soul, whatever's going on today, I want to tell you, God is with you. You may think he's not there, but I'm going to tell you, he is. Look for him. Two, please ask yourself the question and bring this into your community groups this week, okay? Where are you defensive when your best friends, when your spouse, when someone comes to you, your parents, whoever it is, where are you like really defensive in your life? Where are you defensive with Jesus in your life? Let's just see that. Let's try to see that, okay? Let's see where we might put up defense in our life. And then finally, the third application has nothing to do with you. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen. He stands as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah who is so much greater than Artemis, the one who will graciously destroy economies, will graciously advance his kingdom and destroy kingdoms of men. His kingdom will last forever and ever, and he has told us that we are to bring this kingdom here. We are to pray this kingdom here. He's the one that taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're on this journey with him. He is risen. He is Lord. If you do not know him today, I ask, what would it look like for you to take that step of faith today? To believe that Jesus Christ, he died for your sins. He rose again, according to what the Bible told us, and he lives and reigns. And he wants you to be part of this kingdom and advance this kingdom. He's moving. He is working. His kingdom is advancing. Let's be part of it. Let me pray for us. God, there's so many in this room today, and I just pray that you would bless them. God, would you work in only the way you can? Would you move in every individual soul today? And would you be close to them and near to them and remind them that you are Lord, that you are King? God, I'm so glad that you come into our lives and you turn our worlds upside down. God, especially for those who are hurting today, would you just be near to them, close to them? And you would you comfort them this morning with your presence? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.